Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome each one here this morning. I see a few new faces. We're glad that you've decided to join us this morning. I'm just going to read one portion as a bit of an introduction, and then we'll proceed there. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Christians, ones that were born again, saved, who had received the good news, presented, in essence, what the gospel is. And I'm just going to read just four verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read the first five verses. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Pay particular attention to these three verses. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So it is my intention this morning to present the gospel. It's not something that's new from this platform. It's often preached from here. Although different preachers use different verses to try to bring to light the gospel. But Paul here very clearly tells us what the gospel is. That Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And he was also seen of many. So that may not mean a whole lot to you this morning, but our intention this morning is through the Word of God is to bring to light, and we're going to speak about light and darkness this morning, but our intention is so that those truths about, factual truths about the Lord Jesus Christ would become real to you. Not just facts, but they would become real to you. So having said that, by way of introduction, I want to just read our main text. We have three verses in the Gospel of John. We're going to read Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. And then we're going to read two verses in Romans chapter 5 and then also Romans chapter 13. John chapter 3, begin reading at verse 19. Give a little bit of background. Nicodemus, a man approached the Lord Jesus, concerned about this idea of salvation, about being born again, and through a lot of dialogue, the Lord Jesus explains to Nicodemus how it happens. And we're not so much going to go to that, although we will end with that, but I want to kind of concentrate on these three verses in presenting the gospel. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." We're going to turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5, one verse, verse 19. "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." One more reading, Romans chapter 13. Verse 12. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." We'll end our reading there. pretty common terms, light and darkness. It's probably elementary that I explained to you what they are, but I'm going to do that just for sake of presenting the gospel. In the biblical sense, light is an illuminating power of the scriptures. It's something that exposes, as we read the Word of God, exposes the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Light, as we know in a room, exposes everything in that room. And as we've read and we'll continue to talk about, when light comes into the heart of man, it exposes the sin in their lives. In the Bible, in the biblical term of darkness, when we speak of darkness, it's a condition of moral and spiritual depravity. Now that's a big word, but it really simply means this. Darkness, in the spiritual sense, is the sin that occupies every human being since Adam. Light and darkness. Pretty simple terms. Jesus claimed to be the light of the world. The unsaved are described in the Bible as being in darkness. It also says in the scriptures, they our darkness. And in a coming day, if they have never come into the good of the good news, which we're going to speak about this morning, if they've never come into the good news, they will be in darkness for all eternity. On the other hand, the saved are called the children of light. There's a verse that says this, He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. So, that's what we want to speak about this morning. This message is not new, but maybe something this morning that will be said will prick your conscience to make you think about eternity in light of your own condition before God. I want to just, my outline is very simple. It's three questions. Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a Christ one? Have you ever come into the good of the cross? Maybe that language might be a little foreign to you this morning, but as we go through, I hope to explain that in a clearer way. Are you a Christian? The second question is very simple. Why are you not a Christian? And we're going to go to the Word of God each point, and I'm trying to be very clear that everything I say is from this book, the inspired Word of God. Anything I say, independent of that, really doesn't have any value. And thirdly, how do I become a Christian? Three simple things. I don't have a complex outline here. Are you a Christian? Why you're not a Christian? And how to become a Christian? Because in reality, to become a Christian is something that happens from above. As the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, He says, flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. You need to be born from above. And Nicodemus tried to understand about this whole concept of being born again, born from above. But before I do that, I want to just use something I did with the young people, so maybe it seems a little elementary, but when we talk about, are you a Christian, there's evidences, is there not? Is there things in a person's life that would indicate before other men, and ultimately you're responsible to God, but ultimately it would show forth that you are a Christ one. And I use this example, forgive me young people for hearing this twice, but I am a carpenter. That is what I do. But let's debate that a little bit. Let's talk about what are the evidences. Well, I go to work every day, and I don't go to an IT department. I go to places where we build things. The idea of a carpenter is putting things together structurally, structural components. So that's what I do. But you can't take my word for it. There has to be some kind of an evidence that says that's what I do. Well, number one evidence is I go to a place where that happens each day. Secondly, there has to be some things that I have produced. Some maybe a little less quality than others, but the idea is that if I claim to be something, there has to be evidences. Well, I have a certification, went through trade school, and I have what they call a red seal. That means I am certified to do what I do. Now, that may not be so indicative of the island, but in certain places, you function as a carpenter because of that certification. And the reason I bring that to light is we're going to talk about six questions, six things that you can ask yourself in light of claiming the name of Christ that would indicate that is exactly what you are, a Christ one. I want to say before I get too far in that saying a prayer doesn't make you a Christian. As a matter of fact, going up on an altar call doesn't make you a Christian, although I'm not saying that it doesn't happen that way. But to become a Christian is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that a little later. Are you a Christian? Well, here's some things that you can ask yourself. Number one, do you hate the things that God hates? And do you love the things that God loves? Do you occupy your time in the sins of the past? The things that you claim to be saved from, do you occupy your time in those sins? Let me remind you this morning that if you are to name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will not revel in the things that he died for. Do you have a love for the souls of men? Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Is that indicative of who you are on your profession of faith? Do you hunger and thirst after things that are right? Secondly, do you compare your life to the Word of God? Do you read the Word of God? 2 Corinthians says this, "Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, bit by bit." The idea of that is as you progress as a Christian, slowly but surely, as in a reflection of the Word of God, as it reflects, as you read the Word of God, you are changed progressively to be more like unto Him. I'm not preaching a work salvation here. I'm not telling you that by working towards these things you attain salvation. But the book of James is very clear, and it says this, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And my point being, if there is absolutely no evidences in your life that would indicate your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we would have to say, you know what? Maybe that man has never understood or come into the good of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What style of life are you living? The Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Holy means set apart. What music do you listen to? Where do you find yourself gathering in your social circles through the week? Not here. It's easy to be here amongst those of the same faith. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's pretty strong language. They're not my words. Are you doing the will of the Father? 1 John 2:17 says this, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you love the world? Who are your heroes? Is it some soap opera star? Some pop music person? Some talk show host? Or is your mind on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think about him through the course of your day? Are you being convicted in the world in which we live? Is the sin around you in this world bother you? I remember this preacher, a story was told, I think I might have spoken it here, there was a very well-known preacher came to a city and was having a series of gospel meetings. And one evening after the meeting, they were walking through the city. It was a large city, I don't know which city it was. And they were talking and just walking alongside, and then the two men became very silent, and all of a sudden, the visiting preacher was gone. And so he wondered, where did this man go? I kind of lost him in the darkness, and he walked back a few hundred feet, and the man was on his knees, and he was praying for the sins of the city. He was bothered by all the people that were on their way to hell. Are you bothered by the sin in this world? Do you long to see people saved? These are all evidences of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that a stranger might walk in our midst here this morning and we have a concern for their soul? We don't even know them personally, but we have a concern for their soul. Because you know why? Because Christ did. He's not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance and the knowledge of the truth. So those are some things that you may want to ask yourself this morning as evidences, as proofs of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if some of these things just don't exist in your life, then I would submit to you that you may want to look long and hard at that profession. You need to be concerned when these things are not evident. When the world's music and the world's things just occupy your time and you have no conviction about them, I would submit to you that you need to take a good hard look at whether you have ever repented and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, evidences. And there's many others. And I'm not saying legislatively that a Christian cannot fall away a little bit. We know that we have that old nature within us that just gnaws at us sometimes. But the general path of one that is born again is a path of God drawing closer to the Savior. The second question I want to pose to you this morning is the reason why you are not a Christian. Why are you not a Christian? Well, as we read this morning, just a few minutes ago, in the Gospel of John, and this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The reason that you are not born again here this morning, according to the Word of God, is you have refused the light. You have refused the light of the truth of the gospel. You have refused to let it expose who you really are. Because the light of Scripture will tell you and expose to you that you are a sinner, condemned, and on your way to hell. We don't take pleasure in telling you that you're on your way to hell. But through the Word of God, if you have never repented and put your faith in Him, it will end you in hell. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil? No. It says they are evil. Understand this morning. It's not something that is a progression to get to know the Lord Jesus. The fact of the matter is, you are evil. You are born with a nature prone to sin. That's who you are. But that's bad news. But there's good news to follow. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I want to tell you, from my own personal experience, I walked for many years avoiding the light. I actually moved out of this province and moved a number of provinces away, trying to get away from the light. I did not want to give up my sin. See, the problem ultimately is this. Your sin will separate you from God. We've got to deal with the sin. What sin is it in your life? Well, in my life, it was the reveling and the drinking and the womanizing. I did not want to give that up. I'm trying to be truthful here this morning. That was the sin, and ultimately it was the sin of unbelief, but it was things in my life that I just did not want to give up. So I ran away from the light because the light constantly exposed to me my sin. Now, I don't know what your situation is. Maybe it's an immoral relationship. Maybe it's drink. Maybe it's the gathering in a social circle with things that are unprofitable. I don't know. But God knows. And you probably know. And you can run away from it. But I want to tell you, on the authority of this book, it will land you in hell. The wages of your sin, the Bible says, is death. Not physical death, although that's true. It's called spiritual death. It's separation from God. And you know what? You might not even think that's so bad. You say, what's the big deal? The deal is that you are an eternal being. Your soul is an eternal soul. And that soul will go through the doors of physical death and live forever under eternal condemnation. Sin is missing the mark. You know, that's what it means. Missing what God's perfect standard is. But it's far more than that. It's a life void of God, void of the influence of God. You are, the book of Revelation says, those that will end up in condemnation. It says the fearful and the unbelieving. Christ rejecter. See, you're choosing your way over God's way. Your will supersedes God's will, or so you think. God's way is the way of the cross. As we started out, it is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? It's faith in what we talked about as the gospel. That Christ came down. He died for our sins. He died for your sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised again, according to the scriptures. And to prove it, he was seen of people. That's good news for you here this morning. Because had that not happened, we would all perish. How to become a Christian? I'm not talking about a professor. I'm talking about a possessor. How do you possess eternal life with God? How do you get a hold of the connection back to God? And we know, as we've talked about it, it's sin that separates us from God. I think it's all said in one verse. It's not a verse that's very commonly known or preached on, but it's in that chapter of John, chapter 3. Verse 21, John chapter 3. But he that doeth truth, but he that doeth truth. Well, in the context here, the previous verse says those are condemned. Then he says, but there's hope. But he that doeth truth. In essence, what that is saying is, he that is honest with God, he that has some light and moves toward it, as painful as that might be, you start moving towards the light. And it is exposing who you are. It's exposing how vile your mouth is, how your thoughts are so against God. But you continue to move to the light. Because you know what? The light is your only hope. He that doeth, that's your part. We've already established, the Lord Jesus established with Nicodemus, that it's from above. The work to save is done. It's all complete. And now he puts it upon individuals. He that doeth truth. Have you ever done that? See, a prayer and trusting Jesus and inviting him into your heart isn't doing truth. Because you've never turned and understood in an honest way that your sin has separated you from God. And I want to tell you on the authority of this book, that little a prayer that's inviting Jesus into your heart, it's nowhere written in this book. It's repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reminded often when I used to take this platform, let's be careful as preachers to use the language of Scripture. And that's what this book tells me. He that doeth truth, he that is honest with God. Let's carry on with this verse, because this is where you can come in on the offer of salvation and get a hold of it and be eternally secure in heaven. But he that doeth truth and cometh to the light, excuse me, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I look at that verse a lot, trying to get the sense of what that meant. It didn't make sense to me at first that these works that I'm doing are made manifest, and to understand that they are God's works. But I think this is what the idea of the verse means. The work of moving to the light is a work of God. If your conscience is pricked here this morning, if you're thinking in lines of, you know what? I may not like this guy, but he's speaking the truth. I may not want myself exposed to the light, but I know I need to, because it's my sin that is separating me. And as you move to the light, what the Lord Jesus is ultimately saying, he says, you know what? It's a work of God in you. Keep going. Don't stop. Understand the sinfulness of your sin this morning. That's what God wants you to understand. It's a work of God. Keep moving to the light. Don't stop. Search it out. Seek God. Seek His face. Repent. Confess to Him that you're a sinner and that your sin will take you to hell and that there's no hope for you independent of the Savior, God's Son, who did what no man could ever do. He bore your sins at Calvary. And when you get to that point, I guarantee you on the authority of this book, the lights will come on and you will understand for the first time that you're a sinner for whom Christ died. And you will have what we talk about from this platform, salvation through the finished work of the cross. Repentance toward God and faith. You will never be saved if you have never repented. If you have never understood the sinfulness of your sin and how it separates you from God. Have you repented? Have you ever repented? That just simply means agreeing with God against yourself and understanding that you cannot do one thing to make it better. I hope I've been clear. I hope I haven't yelled too much. Why would I even care about people I don't even know? Because I have got that salvation. And I've understood the condemnation that people are under. And I may not even know your name, but I do not wish for you that place where God never intended for you to go. The offer of salvation is free. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gospel. Knowing the gospel will not save you. They're just facts. They're great facts, but knowing it will not save you. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power. You have to receive it. You're bankrupt. You have no hope. Christ is your hope. Repent and trust Him this morning is my prayer. Let's just close. Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that even though there is condemnation, there is light. And Father, we know from Your word that You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, maybe there's someone here, a professor. Maybe someone here that has never heard the good news. And Father, they've understood the facts. And our prayer this morning is that they would just receive it, rest in it. And Father, on the authority of God's word, they will have eternal life. Their sins were taken care of by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for their sins so that they could be set free. Father, I pray I've been clear. I trust you'll use your word to convict. And Father, may it even be this day that someone would come to know the Savior for whom to know is eternal life. Father, bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.